she shot up from the couch and just said, like, I am so sick and tired of everything that is happening. So she actually started yelling, get out of the house, you're not welcome here. And that's when the footsteps got even heavier. Doors started kind of slamming shut.
Everybody, welcome to the Paranormal Portal Podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, we appreciate all of you out there, and thank you so much for your wonderful support. Remember, if you've got an experience and you'd like to be a guest on the show, please reach out to me. You can reach me at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com.
This is Bob Gimling, and you're listening to The Paranormal Porter.
Got a fantastic episode in the making here for you, and we are welcoming Kia from Spokane, who is... had a whole host of different experiences throughout the course of her life. So without further ado, let's bring her on. Hey, Kia, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Pretty excited.
I'm really thrilled you're here. Thanks so much for making this work. You had emailed me quite extensive experience or two that you had, and I was like, wow, we got to get you on the show. So thanks so much for making this happen. And I guess probably the first question that I always ask people is, where did this all start for you? Like, was the paranormal just something you've dealt with your whole life, or is this just an interest of yours for a long time, or how did this journey start?
Actually, from what I can remember, is probably at least like the first grade, just from hearing things, seeing things move, and just like seeing my grandma being able to like talk to something that is there. And she never actually said anything to us. Like, I'd walk into the kitchen because we used to live with our grandparents, and I'd see her talking to an empty chair, and I'll just ask her, like, who are you talking to? And she would just say, like, oh, nobody at all. And okay, so I'll walk away, and then same thing, I'll come back and see her still talking. And I couldn't understand what she was saying at that time because she was actually speaking in Laotian. Which that is where she is from. And okay. So I like keep nagging her. And then finally she'll say like, oh, this lady right here, she actually used to be the owner of the house.
Oh, wow. And
yeah. So after that, I was like, oh, okay. And never really thought about it. But at my grandparents' house, I always hated the basement. Cause whenever my sister and I used to sleep down there, I would always hear three knocks. And that was always really, really scary, especially by where we had our furnaces at. It was in a separate room down in the basement, but it was always, always scary. I never liked being next to it because that's where I would hear the three knocks. And they'll be, like, super quiet, so you have to be, like, right there next to it. But there's times where, like, if I didn't really, like, pay attention or anything, I would actually hear a low growl. And so that's why I always didn't like being down there. But even in the mornings, like super early, like I think it'd be 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, my sister and I, we were actually moved up to the first floor with our grandparents. And we used to hear knocking as well, but not like three knocks. It would be like a couple or like four. And then the doorknobs would like start turning but won't open up the door. So we used to think that was our grandparents coming in to check on us, but we're like, we'll wake up, look at the door, don't see it open or anything like that, but we'll just see it rattle. And so, like, the next day, I'll be, like, asking my grandparents, saying, like, oh, did you guys come into our room or try to or anything? They're like, no, not at all. So it's like, oh, okay. So, because it was just my sister and I and our grandparents living in the house, and that's it. Nobody else. That's, like, the extent for that house that I lived in with our grandparents when we actually moved to what we call the glass house. And even though it sounds, like, pretty cool and everything, it was just because it was on the glass street. That's how we, like, recognize it and just, like, giving nicknames to stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, so, but this one, we actually had a lot of experience. All the adults told us that we were just making things up, trying to get attention or anything like that. But us cousins, my sister and I, we weren't discouraged or anything like that because we knew we had each other and we knew what we saw, we knew what we heard kind of thing. So in that house, the day that we moved in, we were moving our stuff, and before I even went inside, it's a two-story house. Mm-hmm. So when you walk in, it has the living room, and then it has an open door frame. So then it goes into the dining room, and then it goes into the kitchen, and all the way to the back door. But before I went in, I just told my dad, I was like, I don't like this house. And he's like, oh, it's fine or anything like that. And I'm like, no. I was like, there's something up there in that room up there. It's like, I don't like it. And I'm only like maybe 10 years old at that time. Uh-huh. He's like, oh, no, it's fine. It's whatever. You're just paranoid because you guys moved from your grandparents' house. It's like, okay, whatever. So we walk in. Everything's fine on this first floor. And we had to move stuff up to the second floor. And that's when I started freaking out, just saying, like, I can't be upstairs. I'm having really bad, like, I at that time, I didn't know what anxiety was. So I was just like, I just can't stop moving around. My heart's beating super fast. And my dad's just like, I'll just brush it off or anything. You're just having the new house jitters. And I was like, okay. So... And that one, above the living room was my dad's room. Above the dining room upstairs was an extra room plus my sister and my room, because we used to share a room. Mm-hmm. The middle room was, like, super, super small, so we couldn't make that into an actual room. And plus my sister, she used to be such a scaredy cat that she always hated being in a room by herself. So that's why we always shared a room. Mm-hmm. But we hear footsteps, like heavy booted footsteps, above the dining room where our room was when we were always downstairs. And our dad didn't believe us or anything because everything always happened when the adults were not around.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So that's why they always say, like, oh, you guys are just making things up. So that was kind of hard. But, yeah, from hearing footsteps to seeing doors open, closing, whenever I went to the bathroom to take a shower or bath, I would hear, like, knocking, and I would always yell, like, hey, do you need to come in or anything? And I would hear nothing, and I would actually hear we used to have a latch on the bathroom door, and so I used to hear that, like, jiggling all the time, and I even saw it, too. And so I'm just sitting there, like, okay, well, that's happening. Like, trying to think, like, there might be an explanation for this, trying to calm myself down. And most times it was actually super hard that we couldn't.
Yeah. That sounds really intense. That's a lot for a lot of activity. I know this is very early in what you're saying, but, I mean, you've really been dealing with this through the whole journey then, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. And it wasn't anything that, like, we, like, welcomed in or anything like that. It just happened, which at the end I'll tell you a story of that I was told not until later on. Mm-hmm. But so I also went to where the area where going up the stairs is at. My dad used to put a blanket there to keep the cool air staying downstairs instead of going upstairs, especially when it was like summertime, because it'd be like super, super hot and everything. And there's times where I'd actually see the only way I can describe it is the blanket, like, breathing, like going in and out, like your chest, like kind of like when you're breathing in and out kind of thing. And so I used to ask my dad, be like, hey, do we have any windows open upstairs? And he'll tell me no. Okay, well, do we have the AC running? He'll tell me no. Like, do we have any windows or fans downstairs? No. So it's like, okay. And I used to, this one, he actually saw like it come, like it like moving in and out, like it was breathing. He just says like, oh, I probably have a window open. You didn't. Why are you telling me that you didn't, but now that you did? So yeah, but he always had like an explanation for something.
Sure. Now let me ask you, was it extra hard for you, or didn't it really bother you at all, the fact that you had tried to reach out to your parents? And I'm not trying to criticize anybody. Of course, we've all experienced that, where, you know, we try to impress on somebody that something happened and they're just like, no. But was it, as a young child, was that hard on you to know that you were trying to let them know what was going on and it was just dismissed, or was it just okay?
For my dad, it was hard for me because he lived in the same house. So it was just something that I wanted him to understand. Like, this is what I'm seeing. And I tell you, like, it makes me scared. What are we supposed to do? And it's not anything that he will say. It was just like more of like, oh, well, just get over it kind of thing.
Right.
He was kind of like hard-headed kind of dad, didn't believe in the supernatural kind of thing. But my sister actually made it easier for me in the long run because we were there to support each other in everything that we were going through, in personal things and also in like supernatural things and everything. And our other family members didn't know exactly what we were going through because we didn't tell them or anything like that. So they didn't know all the experience that we had, except for me and my sister and my cousins. Cause, the stuff that I said about that's happened in that house, my cousins were also there from different times, or I would see it myself, or my sister would be there as well. So, a lot of the experience that I tell you, it's going to, I'm not going to say who it all involves until like it really like, the big matters that I say or anything, but like those small ones, it happens to either me and my sister or my cousins there and everything like that. So, but it, like I said, with the parents, it was hard, but with us cousins and my sister, we had enough support to make it easy.
That's a good point. At least you weren't alone in the experiences. You still had the ability to communicate and discuss it with other people. And I think that's huge. Yeah.
Exactly. But there is this one time that my mom did come to visit this one time, and we were all sleeping out in the living room. And for some reason, I woke up in the middle of the night. I went to the end of the blankets, and I looked down the hallway where the living room was, where the through the kitchen all the way to the back door. And I see a really tall, slender woman wearing a blue dress and black hair. And we just stared at each other. It wasn't like anything that I felt bad about, no bad feelings or anything. It was just like, kind of when you're walking by somebody and you just see them and you're just staring and then you just like look the other way kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. But then my mom got me to come back to bed. She didn't know what I saw or anything like that. I didn't tell her. I just went back to bed. So another experience was it was three of my cousins. There's Alyssa, Alina, and Kiana. My sister, Kai, and I, we were upstairs just hanging out because we don't like being upstairs by ourselves at all, because there's something about it. But that was our only area that we could hang out when the parents are like, want to do something downstairs. So we're like, okay. So while we're upstairs, we had a broken TV that was in the hallway. And so we did not like going into any of the rooms, so we stayed in the hallway. We're sitting there just talking and everything, and then the TV turns on. It has the white noise, super, super loud. So everybody's screaming and crying, and they tell me to go and turn off the TV because at that time I was known as, like, the daredevil, the one to get everything done kind of thing. I am the one that got up, tried to turn it off, couldn't turn it off. So while they're screaming and crying, they tell me, like, all right, just unplug it. So I went to go reach for the cord. It's already unplugged.
Oh.
That was super creepy. So I told them, and I looked at them, and I showed them, and it was, the TV was still on, so we just all ran downstairs. So we just kind of just left it at that. And we tried telling the parents again. Same thing. Didn't believe us, so we're like, okay, whatever.
That's intense, because you got to imagine the amount of energy that it would take. And I don't know that anybody understands the spiritual dynamics of things, but I mean, it takes quite a bit of energy to illuminate. I imagine it was one of those old CRT TVs. It's not like a flat screen you're talking about here, right?
Oh, no. It's one of those old school ones.
Wow. That's really impressive. And that I always imagine that must speak to the intensity or power that being must have. And who knows whether they were human or not. But, man, that's got to be absolutely terrifying.
Oh, yeah, especially as a little kid. Like, my dad used to have us watching scary movies and everything, so that really brought out, like, the fear in us of, like, not being able to go anywhere by ourselves. So, like, we had our little support, and just, like, experiencing all of these things all together, like, really brought us, like, together as cousins and everything. So, best friends and everything, always hanging out. But yeah, we've always experienced everything with us and without the parents. So they'll be at, like, work during the summer, and then we're at home, and all the things always happen when we're by. So don't know why, but it always happens.
Yeah, that's unfortunate as well, because, you know, you think about being a child, the safe place is with the parents, you know, to not have that acknowledged, I think would be hard. But again, you had the support group of your other relatives there, you know, your peer group of relatives. So that's really powerful that at least you weren't alone again. You know, I think of so many children that go through that kind of stuff. Like, say a kid gets up and, hey, there's, you know, someone standing at the foot of my bed. No, you're having a nightmare, and I'll go to bed. So, you know, the kid's in this terrible state already. They're scared enough that they came and woke up the parents, and then to be told to not only, I'm not going to listen to this, but go back to right where you're terrified. It's like, oh, yeah. Man. Wow.
Exactly. And so just like all that happened, just like, it's times where, like, I think about it, it's like, did this really happen when I was younger? But then, like, when I talk to my cousins, my sister, like, okay, well, that did happen, like, and, like, yeah, we have fun with it now, but it's still thinking, like, okay, well, it still feels like something out of a movie that we see or anything like that. But it's gotten to the point where, like, stuff now, it just doesn't really bother me now or anything like that. It's just like, oh, okay, well, that happened. Kind of thing.
you've been what do they call it, desensitized? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so also at this house, another major thing that happened, out of everything that we experienced, we were seeing, like, somebody always in the corner, just solid as a person, didn't see through them or anything, but they were always kind of like always had a white shirt, like a blondish hair, but always looking in the corner, kind of like the Blair Witch in a way, just in the. And so whenever we would walk towards it or anything, it would just, like, completely disappear. So, like, the first time we saw it, my cousin Lena, she was like, all right, well, I'm going to go over there, because everybody's saying, like, Uncle Rick, why are you standing over there? Why aren't you turning around? Why are you not at the bar with everybody else? We thought we were at home by ourselves. And so when she would, like, run, she would, like, walk over there, it would disappear. So she would come running towards us and, like, jump on us, all of his cousins, my sister and I. Wow. And our only safe haven was the living room. Uh-oh. That was the only safe place in the house that we felt safe.
Wow.
And that was so, yeah, because I always felt like you were being watched. and just like in a bad way kind of thing, like somebody kind of like wants to hurt you in a way. Mm-hmm. That's what it seemed like. But kind of like an evil glare kind of thing, like when somebody really hates you kind of thing.
Yeah. Oof.
Another one, what was it? So after everything had happened, I think it was like the last summer that we were there. My cousin Alina, Alyssa, Kiana, my sister and I, we were at home and we were hearing the footsteps. We were hearing the doors shutting and closing. And so it just got to the point where my cousin Alina, she shot up from the couch and just said, like, I am so sick and tired of everything that is happening. So she actually started yelling, get out of the house. You are not welcome here. And she started reciting some sentences from the Bible. And that's when the footsteps got even heavier. Doors started kind of slamming shut, like harder. And so we kind of cowered on the couch for a little bit and we're just like talking like, okay, well, what can we do so to get this thing out of the house? And for us, we're only now, my oldest cousin's like 13 years old. My sister and I were only like 11 at that time. And so they're like, okay, well, Kia, go ahead and get sticky notes and put crosses on them. And they singled me out to go upstairs where I don't want to be alone or anything like that. But they singled me out like, hey, will you go do this and everything? And I was like, okay, sounds good. So I took sticky notes, put them on every single door, the inside and the outside. Same thing with the windows, every wall, even on the outside of the house. And it was enough to where you can actually climb onto the first roof. And so I was known as the monkey of the family. So I was able to get around the house. And the only place that I didn't do was my dad's window, because we want to be able to have one place where it can actually leave. So we did that. And so she started reciting more. And then my cousins, they started like saying, like, get out of the house and everything, to the point where like the stomping was to the point where like somebody was literally like pounding their feet as hard as they can. You see the chandelier moving in circles, like really, really hard. Doors were slamming. And then it wasn't until this one door slammed, the whole house literally shook really, really bad. So all of us kids just ran out of the house, onto the sidewalk outside of the yard. And there's this big, huge bush. So my cousin Alyssa and I, we went behind there, crouched down, and we did not look at the window or anything. And my sister, my two other cousins, Kiana and Alina, they're like, guys, you gotta look at this. And I'm like, nope, I already know something is there at the window. I am not looking. They're like, no, you have to look. There is someone right there. And I'm like, I will not look. I'm going to run down to Grandma and Grandpa's house because they are only a block away. So I left them. I just went running and they ran after me, screaming after me, telling me to wait for them. And I just like yell at them like, no, you're on your own. I am just running. So, but after that experience, the house actually felt better. Like, it was not, like, anything bad in that house. Even going upstairs, I was fine going up there by myself now. And then still, like, the same thing kind of, like, felt like a movie, like, where something really bad happens and then you get that thing out of the house and then you go back to it and it feels really nice and everything. Yeah. And then you move out. So that's what happened to us.
So you left right after that. Wow.
Yeah, we did. So with that, it was actually, I am now 26 years old. That was back when I was about 10 or 11 years old. And it wasn't until this year that my cousins and my sister were able to talk about it because they were so scared of what happened that they refused to talk about it. And I used to tell them like, hey, let's talk about it. Let's discuss what we saw and to try to figure it out. And they just kept on saying, like, no, I don't want to talk about it. It just gives me nightmares. And so didn't push or anything until this year. And my another cousin of mine, her and my sister were talking this one night about ghost stories. And so my cousin Riley this time, she said, yeah, when I was about 5 years old, I was up on the stairs and I was just drawing. And I look over to your guys' room and I see this guy who is bald and leathery. And so my sister stopped her right there. She's like, hold on, before you say anything, let's draw what we saw from my experience and her experience. So they drew it and they showed each other. Their drawings were exactly the same. Wow. Because they were actually at different times. When my cousin Riley saw and what my sister saw that time when we ran out of the house, what they saw was a leathery kind of man. But like his skin was like so shriveled up and like disfigured. Then it was something that gave them nightmares for like all these years. And they're like, that's crazy to see that we're seeing the same thing, but they were at two different times. And for me, I was like, I'm sorry, I can't relate because I didn't look at it. I refused. I knew something was there, but I refused and just ran.
Wow. So. That is wild. So you ran from there at that time. You guys went to your grandparents. Is this the grandmother that you used to see talking to spirits?
Yeah.
And did you ever share with her what was going on?
We did share with her, and she just said, like, it's okay. It's not going to harm you.
Oh.
Thing. She actually said it's gone.
Oh, okay. Wow.
She didn't even, like, knew what had happened at the house or anything. She just knew how we felt, and she didn't really say anything because she didn't really speak English, but she knew some words, and she just said, it's gone. Like, after that day that we had ran actually out of the house. So it was actually pretty cool knowing that, like, she sat there and listened to us and just, like, telling us, like, oh, it's gone. And then coming back to the house, it really is gone. So. Oh,
that's cool.
That demon not getting what he wanted is now living inside our family.
And, you know, I think that people can do that. I know a lot of people rely on whether it's religious figures or elders or whatever to do those kind of things. But I think most of the time, if you just claim your boundaries and say, no, no more, this is not okay anymore, that I don't know if they're compelled to listen or if they just choose to listen. But oftentimes that'll be the end of it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know, like, if she actually believed us or not, but it just, like, gave us, like, a sort of comfort kind of thing.
Sure.
And then after we moved, we actually moved to my dad's ex-girlfriend's house that we were there for, I think, about, like, 3 years or something like that. Mm-hmm. But in that house, a lot of stuff even happened to my sister and I at that time as well. So, like, this one time I came out of my room that was in the basement on the right side. My sister's room was straight down from the stairs. And I used to, like, always do a double check on my sister's door, always making sure it double clicks. Mm-hmm. And I know it's not going to be, like, going open or anything. So this one time I actually came out of my room, did it, and I started walking up the stairs. And then all of a sudden her door actually slammed open. And she wasn't in there or anything like that. And so, like, I'm running up the stairs as fast as I can, just going on all fours because I'm tripping going up the stairs. And so I was like, oh, well, just, like, realizing, like, it would probably something that was just trying to scare me or something that was literally chasing me. Don't know. I just know I just wanted to get out of there.
Wow. Jeez. Yeah.
And then another time, I think I got pulled a prank on me, which is really something. And this time we were, like, in middle school, and I had homework on the ground in my room at that time. And those big, huge erasers that people always get, I had it on my right side. And so I used it, went back to writing, and I looked down to go and use it again. It was gone. So I took a deep breath, and I was like, haha, very funny. I need my eraser to get my homework done. I really need to get this done today. tonight. So please give it back. So I went back to writing and I looked down on my right and it's back right there next to me.
Very cool. Yeah, that's that they call those deports and upports. When something is taken, it's a deport. And when it's brought back or something is given, it's an upport. And that's really cool that, you know, it. Oftentimes people lose things and may not find it for a long time. But again, you claimed your space. You said, this is my rules. Bring it back. I need it. And
yeah,
the response, well, that's really powerful.
Yeah. And I even got my name called like multiple times as well. But I never followed it. Oh. It actually mimicked my sister's voice. Oh. So yeah. Like there's times where we'd be home alone. I'd have my music blasting and she'd be in her room doing her homework or anything like that. And I just hear her yelling my name and just won't respond or anything. Or like in the middle of the night while I'm sleeping, I would hear, like it would sound like my dad's voice as well at times. And will say my name, come here. And like, I won't come to it or anything like that. I just like put my blankets over my head and just pretend it wasn't there.
Now, let me ask you, how did you know that it really wasn't your siblings or your father? What was the giveaway for you?
Usually after times where they call me, they'll come and get me.
Oh.
And, but it's also, I would have the hairs on my arms and neck just standing up. And so it's like, okay, well, I shouldn't be following that.
Ah.
So I didn't. Except for this one time is I was doing my homework in my room, had my music blasting. We were the only ones home. My sister was in her room. And it just persistently just kept on calling my name over and over again. And it would not stop at all. And so I turned off my music, came out of my room, opened my sister's room, and just told her, like, what the heck? Why are you calling me? I'm trying to get my homework done and everything. I'm yelling at her. She's yelling at me. She comes to her door where I'm at, and before she says anything, she looks behind me, and she goes, ha-ha, very funny. I know that you're trying to do something. And I was like, what are you talking about? And so she points. She's like, the hanger over there. I look back, and there's a hanger that was hanging on top of this pipe, and each corner of it was hitting the ceiling in a like a rhythm, and it wasn't like slowing down or anything like that. It was literally hitting the tips of the end of the hangers, just the on the ceilings. So I didn't say anything to my sister. I pushed her in her room, came in her room, slammed the door shut, and I told her, we're not leaving this room tonight.
Oh.
And I slept in her room that night.
That's incredible. You know, it seems that for whatever reason, you or maybe your entire family seems to be, you know, a magnet of sorts. And you said that your grandmother was having discussions, and it seems very much like she's psychic or has psychic abilities. Have you ever thought that maybe you were?
I've actually thought about it. My family, after my sister and I came out to her other family, like our aunts, just talking about our experiences, they say that it's just because we're so open to what is around us that that's why everything's happening. But it's also, I don't know if I actually believe this story or not, but my aunt has actually told us that we have a demon inside the family.
Oh.
Yeah, so I was really confused, and so we asked about it, and what it was is that my grandma's uncle made a deal with the demon for wealth. And so the demon said, if you want the wealth, you have to face your greatest fears. And somehow that uncle found a loop in that deal and got the wealth but never faced his greatest fear. So that demon not getting what he wanted is now living inside our family. And so what they said is that each person that's in the family, whatever it likes, will have psychic abilities. And but there's only one person in the family that will have the demon inside of them. If they don't accept the demon, that person will get sick and sick and sick to the point where they're on the brink of death, but will not die. Mm-hmm. And they will see like whatever they like fear the most, they will see that like everywhere that they will see until they actually accept the demon. So like from like right now, I was actually told that a cousin of mine that lives in Laos, she has the demon inside of her, and they said, yeah, she's like completely terrified of snakes, and she kept seeing snakes all over the place. And she was like super, super sick, in the hospital, couldn't get out of bed or anything. And they were on the brink of death, and all the doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. Mm-hmm. And so, but this was actually after her mom died, and then the demon transferred to her. And then finally she accepted the demon. So now she actually, her sixth sense is actually more open to where she actually sees them all the time, talks to spirits and everything, and she like automatically got better without any treatment or anything like that. She stopped seeing snakes or anything like that. So it's just going down the line with the bloodline of whoever it wants.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so it's like times where I don't believe it, but there's times where I do, and it's just like my cousins and I, my aunts, we were talking about it. We were like, okay, well, if our cousin dies, that means it's going to travel to whoever it wants now after that happens.
Wow. That's pretty hardcore. I know that, you know, of course, this is me coming from a Western sensibility on this, but I still am open to things like that. I know that to some people it probably sounds like, what? But these are very real cultural ideals, and I think that just because we're not familiar with them doesn't mean they're any less valid. You know, I believe in that kind of phenomenon as well. And certainly our histories are full of such things. And why would that be if there wasn't a basis of truth?
Mm-hmm.
So, but
yeah, I found that out, and I still want to like try to look into it or anything like that, but it's kind of hard when that's the only thing I had to go about. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I've been so busy that I haven't really gotten to it. But like the stories that I sent you, the one where I was actually at a cemetery with my sister, my friend Katie, and my mom, those ones like really stick with me because my best friend Katie and I, we are like so connected to the point we can finish each other's sentences and everything. So it's really nice. And so like it's a 3-story cemetery, and I think it was the first floor or the second floor, I can't remember which one I told you, but we saw the little girl, and
could you go through the whole story though, just for the listeners?
Yeah, so it was just like a one day that my mom came to visit, and she wanted to take us to a cemetery. So we ended up going to this one. It's a 3-story one. It has the first floor, and then you go up this hill, and then you get to the second one, and then you go up to another hill, you go up to the third one, and it's really nice and pretty up there because it's over a cliff. You can see the river and the trees and everything. But while we were walking, my friend stopped and said, "Do you see that?" And my sister and my mom saying like, "Oh, what do you guys see?" kind of thing. And I was like, the little girl, she said, with the white dress, me with the curly blonde hair, sitting on the rock. I said, by the tree. And we just like looked each other and looked back, and the little girl was gone. Mm-hmm. So it was a little trippy, but mm-hmm. I was just happy that I wasn't the only one that had experienced that. So but it was just like a split second kind of thing. But sure. We knew what we saw.
And it's powerful. Yeah,
it really is. Same thing on that day at that same cemetery. We were leaving, and on the right side of us, we had kind of like a somewhat of a busy street where cars come by. And then on our right side is like more of the hill to get up onto the cemetery. But there was like a flock of geese just sleeping and everything. So while we're walking, it got like super, super quiet. You couldn't hear any bugs, any birds, any cars or anything. And like both my friend and I were like, it's super quiet. And my sister, my mom's like, what? And then automatically we heard this man just blood blood curdling screaming, like he was in pain, like he was being tortured to death, kind of thing. We didn't know where it was coming from, and we had our hands over our ears and just like yelling at each other, like, "Do you hear him?" kind of thing. And like my friend and I were just like looking around, panicking, because like it just came out of nowhere. And for us, it felt like for a long time, and we're trying to talk to her, talk to my sister, talk to my mom, say like, where is this guy? Like, where is he coming from? And like, we're just trying to look around, couldn't see anything. They didn't really seem phased at all. They were just like super confused and looking at us, and they're trying to tell us something, and we couldn't hear what they were saying. We can only see their mouths move. And so we actually told them, like, we can't hear you. The man is literally screaming so loud, we can't hear you. And like, I couldn't even hear myself, because that's how loud that he was screaming. And like, looking at the geese and everything, they weren't even phased. They were still all sleeping. So we knew that they couldn't hear it. It was just me and my friend. And then all of a sudden, right when the screaming stopped, you hear the birds, you hear the bugs, you hear the cars. And I can hear my sister and my mom just talking to us, like, what was going on with you guys? Like, why'd you freak out? And they're like, what man are you talking about? And we're like, how can you guys not hear that?
Right.
So, yeah, it was just something still kind of trippy, just trying to figure out what was going on.
And I think things like that are more telepathic, but I think that when the telepathy happens like that, and it's so powerful that you don't really know it's any different from a real sound, like to the experiencer, it's as loud as a real sound would be at that volume. And, you know, cause I've talked about thousands of stories and experiences on, in the course of doing the show. And oftentimes we'll run through those experiences where people will be in a group, and one person or two people in the group will hear something like that, and the rest of them around are like, oh my God, do you hear that screaming? That woman must be in so much pain. And everyone else is like, what are you talking about? You know, and including visual things, people seeing visually, like this one story I just covered recently, this guy was on the beach and saw this huge dog. He's like, man, I'd hate to have to pay for the food for that dog. And the rest of the people with him are like, what dog are you talking about? So I think that is, and it might be controlled by the spiritual presence making itself known to specific people or not. But yeah, that's a very real thing. Absolutely.
Anessa, you gotta run. I will tell you after we get to the truck, because if I tell you now, you're gonna freak out and you're not gonna do anything but sit down and cry. I do have this one experience, and like, just tell me like what you think about it. So like, I went on a date with this one guy, and I was telling him like, yeah, I have a lot of ghost stories and everything. He's like, he has never seen or heard anything in his life. No ghost stories whatsoever. And so I told him all about it, and we actually went down by the Campbell House. It's a little Campbell House that you can actually go and see, because it's a museum where our family used to live.
Okay.
And while we were walking around, we had heard a small girl giggling, and there was no girl around us at all, and there was no people inside the house, because you have to make an appointment to go and see the museum. But he was just saying like, oh wow, maybe I should hang out with you more often to experience this. So do you think I might have like somehow connected to the supernatural to make him experience that as well?
Sure. I mean, that seems very possible. If you guys were really connecting, I do think that, you know, when we're with certain people, we're really plugged in, and vice versa. I mean, I've been around many people that I just feel like I'm in a good mood around them. And I've been many other people that I feel like, oh, you know, I just feel like I gotta go take a shower. Like, you know, it just doesn't feel as good. And so that could certainly be the case in that situation. If you guys were vibing and really connected and having that moment, you could be the bridge for him to experience those kind of things. And it may speak very much to your, for lack of a better term, your energetic presence, that your energetic presence was able to bring that into his realm of experience, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Cause I was just, like, trying to, like, think about it. Like, what is it that made him hear something when he has never, ever experienced anything like that before? Yeah. So that's what I was, like, really confused about or anything like that. But now knowing that, like, maybe my energy had made a bridge for him to experience that with the connection that we had. So it's like, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's possible for sure.
Yeah. There's this also the other one that I had emailed you that, like, I still don't know what to think about it at all. So, like, I had gotten into a fight with my ex-fiance, and so I had actually called up my friend Tom and said, like, hey, do you want to go on a walk or a drive? It was during nighttime, so it was about, like, maybe, say, like, 9 o'clock at night, and went to his house, and he said, let's go for a walk. So I was like, okay. So we ended up walking just aimlessly around his neighborhood, and he had to go to the bathroom really bad, so he ended up going, like, a little bit of a ways from me, but, like, between, like, these bushes and everything. So after he was done, we're just kind of laughing, like, oh, what about if there's, like, people that will, like, see you through their window or something like that, just, like, having giggles about it or whatever. And this is when I was, I want to say, about, like, 21, 22 years old. Mm-hmm. And while we were walking a little bit, we had passed this one house. We looked to our right, and it was side of a house. And there was this window. And in that window, we saw this woman's face. She had long, black, straight hair, and her face was super pale. We didn't see a neck. We didn't see a chest or any shoulders or anything, just her face. And we both stared at it, and we were like, what is that? And, like, we're talking, and then, like, we actually stopped talking, and we were in the middle of the street when we saw it. It was while we were just, like, looking at it, because I thought we were only just looking at it, but it wasn't until it opened its mouth I realized that we were actually walking towards it. And it was kind of like we were in a trance or anything like that. So it was just that instinct that I had was to just run. Mm-hmm. At that moment, I didn't care about my friend or anything. It was just run. So my friend and I, we used to talk about it, but just saying, like, if we were in a horror movie, I would be the one to survive, and he would be the one that's dead first.
Nice. So, okay.
Yeah. But I got down, like, two blocks, and I ran as fast as I could, and without stopping, I looked behind me, and he was still walking towards it. So without stopping, I turned around, and I ran, like, even faster, and he was, like, getting towards the lawn. But, like, while I was running, I saw that the mouth of the woman, it was getting larger and larger with each step that my friend was taking. And it was really weird, to the point where it was so abnormally large, it was probably, like, the size of my hand.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't know what to think about it at all. But still, while I was running, and I could see, like, the inside of the house a bit, but I still couldn't see any shoulders, couldn't see a neck, chest, or anything. It was just the face still. And the mouth was, like, still growing, and, like, at that time, I didn't feel any fear. It was just more adrenaline, because I just thought of get my friend, and that was it. And so once I reached my friend, I actually tackled him to the ground like a football player. And he actually snapped out of it. He was like, what the heck just happened? And I just, like, grabbed him. And I was like, Tom, just run. And so, like, we ended up running. And we went back the next day to understand what happened, and we actually found out that house was actually put up for sale. There was a sale sign on the front of the lawn, which was facing the other way, and we looked through the window on the side of the house that we saw the woman's face in. There was no furniture or anything at all.
Oh.
We still don't know what to say about that at all, because it was literally something that you would see in a movie, and it felt like I was in a movie. because I didn't think of like anything like what can put me into a trance like that to make us walk from the middle of the street where we just thought we were just standing and staring at it to the point where we were going towards it, towards the lawn and everything.
You know, it's houses like that that you realize why they're for sale. You know, it's obviously something is not right in that house. And you hear stories like that where, you know, these happy couples will move into a place and it just becomes their undoing. Like, it's more of an emotional thing, I think, but it just like there seems to be some of these kind of entities out there that feed on people, feed on us. And maybe they're drawing out the all of this negative energy or whatever, but you know, that's the impression I had, is that this thing needs to feed, like it's a, you know, parasite of some kind. And it's, you know, of course, diabolical and horrible, it sounds like, but yeah, that's really freaky.
Yeah. In her mouth, you couldn't see anything but like black, kind of like the little kid in The Grudge, where he's like on top of the second floor and looking down, but he's all pale and then makes the like cat noise when he sees the girl walking by or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like as pale as that, the straight black hair like that. And but yeah, I just didn't know what to think at all. It was just like, I still think it feels like it's something that should have been in a movie. Shouldn't have like involved me whatsoever.
You know, it's funny because sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction, and maybe in a lot of cases these movies are dramatizations of real things that people experienced, you know?
Exactly. But like there's times too is that throughout my years I've had heard kids giggling out of nowhere. I've heard babies crying. I've seen things like even now in my house, I have seen my purse move from the middle of my table, dining room table, and slowly move to the edge of, the table. And instead of just like completely falling to the ground, it actually moved super, super slow, off of the table and onto a chair. Like somebody had gently turned it over onto a chair, and I was literally standing about like maybe 2 yards away and just staring at what was happening. I've had glass cups break out of nowhere. I would be like in the living room, come into the kitchen, and see that there was a glass that was broken in the middle of my kitchen instead of like by the sink or in the cupboards or anything, just in the middle of my kitchen.
Sounds like you're pretty sensitive. I have a strong suspicion that you're either dealing with some very latent psychic abilities, or you realize that you're very psychic. But you know, I don't know what it is, but those kind of people tend to be beacons for spiritual activity, and I think it's probably because some of these spirits want to tell their story. They want to share their experience. They want to make that connection. And maybe it's because they've been in this limbo state and are kind of just on the verge of insanity because there's no one talking to them. There's no one, you know, communicating with them. And so when someone comes along that has that higher energy, I think they're drawn to it. And it certainly seems as you're relating the course of your life that things are absolutely drawn to you.
Yeah, exactly. There was even like a bunch of stories back when I was a caregiver too in a disabled nursing home that I worked at. Let me tell you about this one story when I was 19.
Okay.
This was actually at another cemetery. It's actually called 1,000 Steps. I don't know if you've heard of it or anything like that. So there's these hidden steps close to a cemetery that a lot of police officers actually guard, because a lot of people like to go up there at nighttime, and it's actually only like 23, 24 steps, but because of how steep they are or anything, people have said it felt like 1,000 steps. Oh. So I went with five other coworkers and they're around like my age of being 18, 19 years old, and they want to do something at night. And so they all picked to go to 1,000 Steps. I've never been there before or anything at that time until that time. So we were going, and it was Dom, Laura, Elizabeth, Anessa, and Anita. Those were my coworkers. So we went up there, and before we even got up to the steps or anything, I was like, I'm feeling kind of uneasy. And even my coworker, Anessa, she was like, I don't like this at all. I don't like the feeling. We should just get out of here. And so everybody's like telling her like, oh, just quit being a pansy. Just come with us. So we ended up going all the way to the top, and we were all standing in a circle just talking. And they actually wanted to smoke except for me and Anessa. So we're like, no, we don't want to do that or anything. We're just too paranoid. Don't want anything happening or anything. So they ended up smoking, and we both looked up at the same time, and there was this big black like ball kind of thing. It was like probably like the size of like a basketball. And it came from out of nowhere. It went above us and shot into the ground in the middle of our friend circle. My friend Anessa, she started freaking out. Me, I couldn't say anything because I was just trying to understand what I just saw. And everybody saying like, oh, you're just imagining things. You're just too scared. So that's why you're freaking out, trying to get us home. And so I just told her, I was like, hey, don't worry. I saw the same thing as you. We can go back to the truck if you want to, because everybody else, they said that they want to go walk through the cemetery. I was like, no, I don't want to do that. So we had our flashlights on, and they went into the cemetery, and me and Anessa, we started walking down the steps. And while we had our flashlights on, I just said, Anessa, you got to run. And she's like, what do you mean? And I was like, just try to get down the steps as fast as you can right now. And she's like, I can't. I'm not coordinated. I'll be needing help. And she's like, I'm not going to go any faster than I am now until you tell me what is going on. And I just told her, I was like, I will tell you after we get to the truck, because if I tell you now, you're going to freak out and you're not going to do anything but sit down and cry. And so she's like, okay. So I'm freaking out, telling her to run as fast as she can. And so she actually grabbed onto me, and I literally was like, kind of like dragging her off the steps to get off of them. And then we ran to the truck, and then she was like, okay, now you have to tell me what it is that happened. And she's like, okay, well, what I heard was chains being dragged behind us. And she was like, chains? And I was like, yeah, the faster we went, the faster the chains were dragging. And I was like, whatever it was chasing after us until we got off the steps, and it was nothing. So, and she's like, oh, yeah, if you had told me then, I would have just sat down and cried. And I was like, exactly.
Oh, man, that's powerful. Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't really, there's times where I'm okay going to the cemetery if I'm with other people, but usually after I'm done going to a cemetery, I just say like, I don't want this bad energy. I don't claim the negative vibes or energy that is around me. And I usually just say like, you cannot come home with me. You're not allowed to, kind of thing. So nothing would fall.
Yeah, you're doing it right. I mean, that's important, is to make that proclamation again. You know, you're stating your will out loud, so you don't get something attached or hanging around. But I think if you haven't already, and maybe you are, maybe, again, I don't claim to know that much about you, but I think that maybe learning how to control that energy might be good, because as you are, obviously things are attracted to you, but I think there's ways to protect yourself. And I'm not claiming to be, you know, all adept at that, but I'm familiar with that. There are techniques that people apparently share with, other sensitives and psychics to help them to control how much of this comes at you and how often. And, I think that would be really good for you, for whatever it's worth.
We actually, my cousin and I were both natives as well as Asians, but we had actually cleansed our house with sage. And also we were sitting down and talking, and she was like, well, how would you even protect yourself besides just cleansing the house? And so I just told her, it's like, usually I watched like supernatural kind of shows and everything, and they always say like, oh, think about like a white light around you. And so usually when I do it, I actually feel really drained afterwards. Like super tired. I just want to sleep or anything. So like after like I think about it and like just like cover myself with the white light, I just want to sleep, because it just takes out a lot on me. Like, I don't know if that happens to other people, but like that happens to me like a lot. And there's times where like if I let my guard down without like really thinking about like the white light or anything like that, that's when like stuff happens. So like hearing the voices, like I would like hear somebody saying like, hey, or like I would hear like a man's voice or a woman's voice or a child's voice just around me. And I would like look and see like, okay, well, there's nobody around me. And but yeah, or like stuff will move, or I will see like a black shadow, or just like see like somebody walking. Like I wouldn't see like them completely walking around me. I would see like the end of somebody walking like around the corner or something. Like I would see a leg like they were moving, or an arm like in the back of their body, kind of like when they're swinging, when they're walking or something. Like I'd always see something like that.
Wow. That's intense. You've had an intense journey. You really have. That's really powerful. And I know that this certainly isn't a complete recital of your experiences, but it's very powerful stuff. And I really appreciate that you took the time to come on and share it with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I actually always love sharing my experiences and everything. And some other time, I can always tell you about my experiences when I was a caregiver as well.
Oh, I'd love to hear those as well. Yeah, absolutely. If you would, we'll definitely have you back, and we'll continue the journey. But for today, this has been amazing. Thank you so much, Kia.
Yeah, thanks, Brent, for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Me too. But I'll be in touch, and we'll figure out when to get you back, and we'll keep on going down the road.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, Kia.
All right. Thank you. We have a wonderful day.
All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us here on tonight's show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio, as well as finding us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at Paranormal Portal, P-O-R-T-L. And we'd love to have you stop by our YouTube page and subscribe and check out our shows there. We got hundreds of shows, Journeys into the Paranormal Portal. So I hope you'll check it out, guys. We're over there at youtube.com/paranormalportal. So hope to see you guys soon. We'll be back, of course, for more podcasts in the coming days. So we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day. And remember to laugh as much as you can.